you to take your Bibles this evening and look with me to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter number 3 is where we're going to begin tonight. We're going to look at a couple other passages. But Philippians chapter 3 is where we will begin. As I stop and contemplate and think about the coming year, we've got just a few days left, and I would ask by raising of hand, how many of you accomplished everything you set out to accomplish in 2016? Oh my. Maybe I should have asked it this way. How many of you did not accomplish everything you set out to accomplish? All right. Okay. How many of you didn't set out to accomplish anything? Well, then you all should have raised your hand. You did it. You did it. You accomplished nothing. No, I'm sure you accomplished something. So all right. So those of you that said I set out to accomplish some things and you're leaving some things undone, how many of you are going to finish them within the next 3 days? How many of you are even going to try? How many of you gave up in February? Okay, gave up in January. Okay, so, all right. Well, I actually love New Year's. I really do. I would say Thanksgiving would be my first favorite holiday, and then New Year's would probably be my second. In that order. You say, well, that's not very spiritual. What about Christmas and Easter, right? How many are thinking that? Be honest. None of you are thinking that? Good. All right, good. It's not that I don't like those. It's just those are different in my mind. And, of course, Thanksgiving, I mentioned that. We just came through it. But a time to be thankful, a time to ponder on and all of that. And I think New Year's does the same thing for me as far as it causes me to ponder. One, as we approach the last 3 days, I typically spend 4, 5, 6 days of the week before just looking back at the previous year. What did I do? What didn't I do? And I would say for me, usually it's in that reflection that I realize all of the time that I wasted. And did not accomplish what I set out to accomplish, or did not finish what I wanted to finish, and it's one of those times to just kind of recharge and refocus, and then push ahead for the coming year. And so, as I do that in my own life, a few verses that I like to go to and like to contemplate on would be Philippians chapter 3, a very familiar passage of Scripture here. As we read in verse number 13 and verse number 14, Paul is writing and he says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Now, I have a question for you real quickly. As Paul said, "This one thing I do," how many of you noticed that in this one thing that he does or that he said, "I do," there are really two things? You ever noticed that before? He says, "This one thing I do." What is it? "Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." That's really one thing, in though it is two, and we'll explain that here in just a moment, but I want to give you some keys to a fresh start in the new year. Some keys to a fresh start in the new year. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for your Scripture. We thank you for how you move and you work in our lives. And Father, I pray that as we go through these next 3 days, that we would take a time to look back and reflect upon what this past year has been and what we have done and maybe even what we haven't done. And Father, we take the next 3 days to put that behind us, that we might reach forth unto what you have for us in the coming year of 2017. I pray that if there's anything that we have left undone, that must be done and must be finished, God, that we would accomplish it for your honor and your glory. Help us in this, that we might have a fresh start this coming Sunday. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right. So here he begins again by saying, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." Now, one of the things that he starts in the beginning of this chapter, as he is beginning, of course, four chapters in the book of Philippians, it is probably one of the most encouraging books in the New Testament. It's just full of encouragement. It is Paul's most personal letter that he writes to any other church or to any other individual. He uses the personal pronoun I, me, my, talking about himself over 90 times in these four chapters. It's really overwhelming how personal that this is. But he says in verse number 1 of chapter 3, he says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe." What I'm going to give you tonight, while they may be some keys to starting fresh and that type of thing, this is not necessarily a fresh thought, okay? It's a yearly thought for me, but it's not necessarily a fresh thought. It's a reminding. Let's go through this again, because we have a new year coming up. And really, if we want to be technical here, you do realize that this coming Sunday is not going to be really much different than last Sunday. It's not going to be much different than the Sunday before that and the Sunday before that, just like tomorrow isn't going to be much different than today, if we make it to tomorrow. Okay? The same look that we have in starting the new year, we can apply these same principles to tomorrow, because tomorrow is a new day. We can forget what happened today, and we can move on to tomorrow. You see, one of the things I've realized over my life is that typically when we look at this and we say, "Okay, brethren, I count myself not to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." How many of you do this? When you consider forgetting those things which are behind, how many of you typically, because I know I've done this, typically would say, "Yeah, there's a lot of things I'd like to forget." Anybody like that? There's a lot of things I'd like to forget. And usually they are what? Are they positive or negative? They're negative. But do you realize Paul doesn't give any connotation here as whether or not this is positive or negative? You with me? Because there are some positive things that we need to forget. You say, "That doesn't make any sense." Well, follow the logic here. If our past failures, you realize they can hold us back. How many are familiar with the term the glory days? How many of you have glory days? Brother Don has glory days. When were your glory days, Brother Don? Okay, so that would have been, I mean, how old were you? Would you have been? Roughly. You've forgotten. No. 30 to 50, all right, the glory days. And you're how old now? 70, all right. Anybody else have any glory days? DJ, you had some glory days? When were yours? 18 to 23, all right. Anyone else care to admit? Haven't had yours yet. All right. Anyone else? Abby, have you had your glory days? You're living them right now. Brother Terry, did you have glory days? Living them now. It was yesterday. It's the only one you get. No, we do. We all sometimes take a look back and we can say, "Oh, well, I accomplished this." You know, sometimes we do that personally. Sometimes we do that collectively. As a family, we might say, "Do you remember when we did this? Do you remember the time?" And you can fill in the blank. How many of you have memories like that? Or maybe say, man, I wish I could go back to this time. You realize that even though that's a good memory, and even though that's a good thing, and even though that's a glorious time, it still holds us back sometimes. Because we say, oh, well, I want to go back there, and it holds us back from tomorrow. So Paul is saying here, he says, we need to forget those things which are behind. Now, I know what we say all the time, oh, I forgot. And we will typically use that in that I can't remember. Okay? Is that typically how we use the word forgot, right? Or forgetting, I'm forgetting, I forgot, is that I can't recall what it was in that. Well, in this usage here, as Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind, I'm just going to tell you, there are some things in this life you'll never forget. Now, I know there's, you know, diseases and things that can cause us to do those things, but there are some instances and some things that we will just not forget. We'll always keep them. We'll always remember how we felt and all of those things when we dwell on them. In this usage of the word that Paul says here, as he says, forgetting those things which are behind, he's talking about giving attention to. He's not talking about not being able to remember. He's talking about not giving attention to the past, whether it's good, whether it's bad. Why? Because there's something that is ahead of us. There is something that we must reach forth to. I will submit to you that it doesn't matter where you're at in your life, you can still have glory days. We still can. Today can be a glory day if we choose for it to be. But once today is done, guess what? It's done. Not to be relived, not to be rechosen, not to be redone. To forget, to let it go from the memory, to slight or to neglect. But what about this second idea here? In this one thing I do. Paul says, while I let these things go from behind, I'm not giving it my attention. Why am I not giving it my attention? What am I giving my attention to? If I'm not giving my attention to the things which are behind, I'm giving my attention to the things which are above, which are ahead, which are coming. So the attention, that's why I'm forgetting, because I'm focusing on what's coming up. I'm focusing upon my glory day tomorrow. This day is almost over, and I've got to focus in on what God has brought me to. He says, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I've got to. So the first key is to forget what has happened in the past and reach for the things that are before. Now, as I do this, though, there are some things that in order for me to get past the past, I might have to deal with. I want you to go to the book of Genesis, if you will. Genesis chapter number 32. I'm going to go through this pretty quickly. It's Wednesday night crowd. We only got a few moments left. But, you know, Jacob and Esau. All right. Jacob cheated Esau out of his birthright. He tricked his father into giving him his blessing. And I'm going to go through this really fast. How many of you are with me so far? All right, good. Esau said, I'm going to kill him. Right? All right. And Jacob left town. He said, I'm out of here. I like to live. Okay? So Jacob gets married. He gets tricked. I find that rather interesting, don't you? He gets tricked by his father-in-law. Goes, pulls back the veil. Ah, you're not Rachel. You're Leah. What's going on? Well, you had 7 years. She never got married. I can't let Rachel get married without her older sister getting married. So here you go. I told you I'd give you my daughter. That's my daughter. Oh, man, that's not the one I love. He said, well, work 7 more years. You can have Rachel too. Okay. So he works another 7 years, marries Rachel. About 20, 25 years goes by. We're fast forwarding really fast here. Okay? God comes to Jacob. Says, it's time for you to leave Laban's house and go back to your father's land. Okay. But then he realizes something, that on the way to his father's land, he's going to run past Esau. There's a problem. Esau hates me. Esau's going to kill me. I can't go that way. Now, how are you going to get past the past? I mean, you got 25-year history here, possibly 30. He's got children. He's got the love of his life. Jacob's in the midst of his glory days, if you will. Everything that he's worked for. And now God wants me to go here, but I got to go through Esau. You see, sometimes in order to get past the past and to forget the past, we might have to deal with God first. Look at this principle here in Genesis chapter 32, real quick, in verse number 9. To bring you up to speed, this is where we're at. Jacob's speaking to God here about going through and dealing with Esau. He says, and Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidest unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all thy mercy, of the mercies, and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For this with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me, and the mother of my children. As thou hast said, I will surely do thee good, and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. I want you to notice what Jacob's doing here is he's dealing with God. And I'm not talking about making a deal like we would make a car deal. I'm talking about he's doing business. I'm talking about he's trying to get his heart right. He's trying to figure out exactly what is taking place in his life. He says, God, I know you've called me, but did you call me to go to my father's house so my brother would kill me? Did you call me to go back to my land? You said that when I go there, you'll deal with me. Is this how you're going to deal with me? So Jacob goes through in the next few verses. He puts some things in order and puts some peace offering together, if you will. Puts some animals together and puts a band of people. He puts his handmaidens and their children, which are his children, in the front with his servants. And then he puts Leah and her children. And then he puts Rachel and Joseph and says they're going to go. And what his thinking is that if Esau, because they told him Esau's coming with 400 men. Now, you didn't typically come with 400 men unless you meant business, okay? That's just how things worked back then. And so he puts them there, and his thinking is, okay, we're going to go, and if the first band gets taken out, the second band will be able to escape. Now, I want you to consider this for a moment, all right? One, we know the future here in this thing. Joseph, remember Joseph with the 12 tribes of Israel, or the 10 tribes and Joseph and Benjamin? Remember the 10 that hated Joseph? Do you think, and I was thinking about this in this story here, do you think that this event could have had anything to do with this? Consider this for a moment. All right, here's Dad. His brother wants to kill him. And he puts my mom and my brothers ahead of Joseph. Joseph's the last one. You think that might have anything to do with the fact why they hated Joseph? Just maybe a little? Just a smidge, maybe. Maybe. Beside the point. That's what he did. Then, in dealing with God, Jacob begins to deal with his regret. I've mentioned this several times in this setting here, but you know, I have regrets in life. I'm certain you do as well. Let me ask you, Braden, do you have any regrets? How old are you? You're 8 years old. Do you regret anything you've ever done? What about that time you lied? Oh, you know that time. You're thinking of it right now, aren't you? You want me to tell everyone? Huh? He's thinking real hard. You remember. You don't remember. You'll remember later. And you'll be like, oh, I do. You know what regret means? You don't even know what regret means, do you? He's not answering anymore. You want me to move on to somebody else? Yes. All right. Asher, how old are you? 12. You remember that time? No, yeah, I do. Do you have regrets? At 12 years old, have regrets. Caleb, you got any regrets? Yeah. Alec, you got any regrets? Probably that time you played me in basketball. Brother Terry, you got regrets? What are you, 58? 59. Used to be 58. Used to be. I bet. So we got 8-year-olds that have regrets. We got 12-year-olds that have regrets. We got 59-year-olds that have regrets. Matt, you got any regrets? Man, I have regrets. Tina, you got regrets? Yeah. We do. How do we deal with them? We just go on, right? We just move on. Forget those things which are behind and move on. No, I don't know, because some things have to be dealt with. And the first place we must deal with them is with God. You see? While I have regrets in my life, there are a few things that I've never regretted, and that's serving God. Just never have. I've never regretted one time going to church. Never. I've regretted falling asleep in church. Yeah. Think about the things I've missed daydreaming on something else that I've missed from the Word of God because I wasn't paying attention. Thinking about something else. I regret that. But I've never left church service and said, man, I wish I hadn't gone there. There's never been a time where I've read my Bible that I've said, man, I regret that. There's been plenty of times where I've read my Bible and I thought, ooh. Never gone to the Lord in prayer and said, oh, that was wasted time. Never regretted that. There's been other things that I've read that I regret. There's been other places that I've gone that I regret. But never when it comes to serving God. But you see, sometimes we have to deal with God. Sometimes we have to deal with the regret and make restitution if necessary. I mean, do you realize what Jacob is doing here as he is sending this caravan ahead? And he's sending these animals ahead to Esau. You know what he's doing? He's trying to make restitution. And I will tell you, I think one of the most beautiful stories in all of Scripture, we come to chapter 33. From verse 24 down to verse 32, you see Jacob wrestling with God in chapter 32. And God blessing him and changing his name to Israel. But in chapter 33, Jacob gets closer. And the Bible says he lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, Esau came, and with him 400 men. And here's what I was talking about earlier. He divided the children unto Leah and unto Rachel and unto the two handmaids. And he put the handmaids and their children in the foremost, and Leah and her children in after, and Rachel and Joseph hindermost. And he passed over before them and bowed himself to the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother. Look at this. Verse 4. And Esau ran to meet him and embraced him, and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. He lifted up his eyes and saw the women and the children and said, "Who are these with thee?" And he said, "The children which God hath granted graciously," or hath graciously given, sorry, "thy servant." We'll stop there just for sake of time. But here's Esau. 25 years ago, cheated from his birthright. Cheated out of a blessing by his brother. Jacob, dealing with God and dealing with his regret, comes to Esau, and Esau comes and runs and hugs his neck. You know, I think now, Jacob at this point in time in his life is able to forget those things which are behind and reach forth unto those things which are before. Why? Because he dealt with God and he dealt with his regret. We might have to do that. If we're going to get a fresh start in a new year, we're going to have to forget those things which are behind. In order to do that, we might have to deal with God. We might have to deal with the regrets in our life. Now, how do we move forward past that? So as we're talking about key number two, key number three, dealing with God and dealing with our regret, that's dealing with the forgetting those things which are behind. But how do we move ahead? I'll show you. Proverbs chapter 4. Turn there with me. Proverbs chapter 4. How do I press ahead with all of these things behind me? Well, Solomon tells us in Proverbs chapter 4, the last five verses, he said this. He said, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." How am I going to move ahead? Well, I must press on and move forward, but the first step is guard your heart with diligence. This is a constant effort. This idea of diligence is a constant effort to accomplish what is needed. Well, what is needed here? To keep thy heart. Well, how do I do that? When I look at this and I see verse 23, it makes sense. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We could really, if you wanted to, you could put your thumb over verse number 24 and move right on to verse number 25 as he says, "Let thine eyes look right on." So keep thy heart with all diligence and look right on. Let thine eyelids look right on. But 24 is still there. He says, "Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips put far from thee." So I'm keeping my heart with all diligence, but I got to put some things away. What am I putting away? Well, this idea of a froward mouth, that's the mouth that's not willing to yield to what is required. It's this idea, as he says, this froward mouth and perverse lips. It has to do with what's speaking. And we know that from the heart the mouth speaketh. So keep thy heart with all diligence, but we got to put away from this yielding stubbornness. To say, I'm not willing to yield. I'm not willing to do this. I'm not willing to go forward because I'm constantly thinking about the past. We got to put the past behind us. In order to do this, we got to forget it. In order to forget it, we've got to stop pondering on it because we got to look ahead. Well, in order to stop pondering on it, we got to stop thinking negatively about it, and that means we've got to look ahead. And so we've got to put it behind us. We've got to put away the negative and look ahead. Look what he says in verse number 25. Let thine eyes look right on. Now, I've got the past over here. Okay? I've got the future over here. Tomorrow's over here. The past is here. The present is here. It is very difficult to live this way. Notice in verse number 27, he says, turn not to the left hand, or to the right hand nor to the left. Now, which way am I supposed to turn here? No, if this is the past and this is the future and I'm supposed to press on towards these things, which way am I supposed to go? To the right. So this way is not an option, correct? To the left is not an option. And to the right, I don't even know what's over here or over here, but I know it's not good. But if I'm facing either way, you follow me? This is not an option. This is an option, but only if I'm looking right on. Only if I'm looking ahead. I can't move ahead this way. This isn't an option. So I'm either going to look towards the past when the future's ahead of me, and I'm going to dwell here, and I'm going to stay negative, I'm going to stay froward, and I'm going to stay unwilling to yield, and unwilling to yield to what? Unwilling to yield to what God has for me tomorrow. But sometimes the past will hold me back in all of this. You see, he says in verse number 25, he says, let thine eyes look right on. Right on this way. And let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Because I've got a direction I'm going. Now look, if I'm standing right here and I'm looking this way, I've got a pretty good peripheral vision. I can see my hand here, I can see my hand here. Now I can't. Well, if I look this way. But I'm not looking right on, am I? I'm trying to keep both. And many of us live right here. And it's the reason we don't have victory in our life. Because I can still see the past and I can still see the future, but I'm stuck in the middle. Because I refuse to look right on. I refuse to look ahead and not concentrate on those things which are behind. But I've got to look right on. Because that's what the Bible's telling me to do here. But as he says this, he says, ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. I've got to consider where I'm going. All right, as we consider Paul here, he says, I'm pressing on towards the things which are before me for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He said, I'm pressing on towards this. But I have a past, and I've got to forget this. But in order to forget it, I've got to press ahead. I've got to look straight. Well, with Jacob, where was Jacob going? Jacob was going where God called him to go, wasn't he? Well, in order to do that, he had to deal with the past. He had to deal with his regret. But he had to consider where he's going. Are you going where God is calling you? Are you going in the direction that God is calling you? Ponder the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established. And he says, as you do it, don't turn to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Don't get distracted. Don't get distracted. Do and go where God has called you to go. And I'll tell you, we can have a fresh start. That fresh start, you don't have to wait till Saturday to do it. You don't have to wait till Sunday to do it. You can have a fresh start tomorrow. Just got to deal with the past. You got to deal with it. Got to deal with God. Got to deal with the regret. Got to move on. Don't ponder there. Deal with it and go. Keep going. Keep going straight. But you got to deal with it. Don't get distracted. Just keep moving. I'm telling you, it's a key to a fresh start. It's a key to a fresh start tomorrow. It's a key to a fresh start in the new year. It's a key to the fresh start in February and March and April. You see, one of the things I've learned about something new is it's only new for so long, right? How long is something new? But how long is that? How many newlyweds do we have here? I still feel fresh. Not in that way. Maybe we should pray and go home. Are you still in love with me? I'm still in love with you. You haven't fallen out of love with me? That's good. I haven't fallen out of love with you. No, seriously. I mean, we talk about, the honeymoon phase. I think we're still in the honeymoon phase. doesn't have to end. It doesn't. Now, the honeymoon phase is not physical. You know more about each other later. You learn one another and all of those things, but you can still be madly in love and be married for 50 years. You don't have to hate one another. I mean, come on. Hey, you know, Scott, listen, they'll tell you the honeymoon phase of a church lasts 3 years. I don't know what happened because I still feel like I'm in it. Now, a lot's changed in 8 years, but it doesn't have to end. I read an article just yesterday about pastors and churches and all of this, and several of them mentioned, well, you know, the honeymoon phase lasted about 16 months. Not to say that you don't have problems. You just move past them. I have an illustration that I want to use for this, but it could borderline on crude. Don't. It's not crude. Let me say it this way. I remember the first time I passed gas in front of my wife. So does she. We had been married probably 4 months. 4 months, seriously. My mother raised me not to do that. And so I held it in for 4 months. And then I never stopped. It's what happens when you hold it in for 4 months. It just keeps on going. So that wasn't that crude, was it, dear? No, okay. I know. She has moved past it, and so did I. But does that mean, you know, 4 months in, we're out of the honeymoon phase because I passed gas in front of her? It wasn't too long ago. Asher, he's like, Mom, I didn't know you did that. It's like a year and a half ago. I didn't know you did that, Mom. She does. And so do you. I can stop now? Well, you know, had to bring something else up. But how does it mean you're out of the honeymoon phase? It doesn't. Might be now. Go get me an igloo somewhere. We get past the past. And we look forward. And every day is fresh. We can have this with God. We can have this in our Christian life. But there are keys to it. To get past the past, we have to deal with it. We have to deal with the regret. Sometimes pay restitution. It's part of it. And then we can focus what God has given us to do. I hope you will do this. Not just in the new year, but do it tonight before you go to sleep. What did I do today? All right, let's get past it. Tomorrow's a new day. What has God called me to do? This is where I've been. I've got to ponder it. And this is where I'm going. Let's go. Let's move ahead. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you. Because your goodness is so overwhelming to us. And God, we get so used to your goodness that sometimes we miss it completely. But God, the wonderful memories that you have given to us, you allow us to remember, and you allow us to even have emotions of regret and sorrow and victory and joyfulness and all of those. But Father, I pray that first of all, as individuals, as families, and as a church, God, that we would not dwell in the past failures that we've had. Because of all of us as individuals, we've experienced it. As families, we've failed. As a church, we have failed you. But Father, as individuals and as families and as a church, we've also had some amazing victories. May we choose not to dwell in those either. But may we look on to the new victories that you have in store for us tomorrow. May we look straight ahead. And God, would you guide our step along the way? May we keep ourselves in your book. May we keep ourselves right with you, and may we keep ourselves right with one another. We need your help in this. We need your grace. Father, we're grateful for your mercy. For it's only by your mercy that we're not consumed. Oh God, move upon us. Help us. In Jesus' name we pray.